City of Cuna Special Council Meeting, October 10th, 2013.
30, and we'll call the special meeting of the Cuna City Council to order. And would you poll the council, please?
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Hoyland.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here. Thank you. Welcome to the special meeting. First item we have to do is amend the agenda to include paintball range at the Zombie Acres.
Mr. Mayor, I would move we amend agenda for 1.1 to include Zombie Acres event.
Second.
Been moved and second. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carries. Okay, then starting off with business right off would be to consider the approval of use of paintball guns on the range at the Zombie Acres. So, Richard, would you like to brief us on that, please?
Good evening, Mayor, council members. This came in yesterday. Zombie Acres is a subcontractor with Linder Farms, or working on that, to run this facility up next to the next to Linder Farms. What I understand, and there's a representative here from Zombie Acres, is on that map south of the corn maze indicated by Zombie Acres, they're going to run buses around that have air guns that project paintballs to zombies that are out hiding in the corn maze. They will transport the people from the parking lot on hay rides down there. They'll run approximately 100 persons per hour. I have asked the representative to meet with the city tomorrow to get a special events permit. And we will work diligently to get that taken care of. My concerns are safety factors. These air gun projectiles can go 100 to 150 yards. And as you can tell from the map depiction, the location is not that wide, although they have made modifications on the bus and the guns so that they can't point up. And that can be adjusted. So the projectiles are shooting into the ground, and we're close to the ground as far as you need to project them, so they can't go into that corn maze that's to the north. So safety is our concern, and we will be meeting with them tomorrow, understanding the need to get this up and running probably by this weekend. They were up operating in Meridian for 4 days, and then were closed down because Meridian City prohibits the discharge, I understand, of air guns in their city limits. So we allow it if the range is approved by City Council. So I would ask that the City Council motion and approve the range as depicted in the map, subject to receiving a special events permit by the City of Cuna. I'll stand for questions, and the representative is here also if the council wants to question her.
Our questions for Richard.
So they can't shoot out into a roadway or anything like that, then, I'm assuming, by what I see?
That's correct. To the south of the Zombie Acres is mostly undeveloped land. To the west, what was it, a quarter of a mile, is Linder, and then obviously to the north is the corn maze there. So there's no public roads that abut the proposed Zombie Acres.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, Richard, did you say that the width of the field was or was not sufficient, that projectiles would or wouldn't travel into the corn maze area?
It's 100 feet by 500 feet. That's not very wide, but what we're going to do, what they've done so far is they've mounted a device on the bus, a chain, so the gun can't be moved up higher than a certain elevation. That can be adjusted, and they've offered to have the police or the city go out, and we can readjust those. So wherever the track is cut in the corn maze, we can make sure that that is pointing into the ground or not towards the corn maze where the kids are going to be. And in fact, I think if the track is cut, we can require that on that location that there be no shots fired to the north there into that corn maze, so.
Do we think that would be practical? I mean, if it's like a bus full of people and zombies are jumping out and they're like shooting at them, I think it might be hard to enforce like a no shooting for this, you know, 30 feet. Okay, now you can shoot again, you know what I mean? Like, am I understanding that correctly, or?
Well, I think what we would do is not put zombies up on that side where the bus would be able to shoot in that location.
Okay.
The way the ride works is,
and then identify yourself.
My name's Taylor Garner. I'm the PR person for Zombie Acres. I have pictures too if you want to see what the guns look like and the mounting on the bus. The way that the ride goes is it's a 25-minute ride through the corn, and there's about 8 stops along the way, and really those are the only times that you're shooting at zombies. In between, it'll be a wall of corn. The corn's high enough that it'll cover most of the window, so they won't see a lot in between these stops. At the stops, there's backdrops basically, and the zombies come out from behind them. The guns will be pointed down, and so with that layer of corn and the angle of the gun, they should never be able to be shot up into the air to go they're 300 feet that they could go normally.
Okay, that's helpful. I was assuming for some reason that it would be leveled. I wasn't picturing like it's in a cornfield.
Yes, it's in a corn. They're cutting a path out that just kind of winds like this, and the little sceneries will be set up along the way like that.
Okay, perfect.
Other questions?
Mayor, I have one, Richard. Even though it's we're making an exception to our ordinance, should the city be an additional name insured on their policy?
Yeah, and I've asked them to bring in that tomorrow. Okay. We will take care of that.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So it's properly before the council to whether you'd like to approve the Zombie Acres paintball range.
I move we approve the use of the paintball range subject to the folks getting a special use permit and making sure we take the safety requirements that we talked about implementing.
Special event permit.
I'm sorry?
Special event.
And also that we get the copy of the insurance that lists the city as an additional insured.
Okay. Your second?
And I would second that with also the stipulation. They said they were going to have the sheriff's department come out and...
Oh, I said the safety thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So I'll second.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Okay. Moving on then... tonight we're having a special meeting for a hearing. The first item is a public hearing for the sale of city-owned surplus property located north of Lake Hazel Road and east of 10 Mile Road, Kuna, Idaho, 107.13 acres. The minimum price is $3,213,900. So, did we put out a paper to sign for the hearing?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. We'll open the hearing, and we would ask if anyone that would like to testify or to make a bid or. The hearing's open, so anyone that would like to come forward, we'd like to hear from you.
Mayor, just for clarification, this portion is just to take public testimony on the city's sale of the property, and then if nobody testifies at this portion, then we'll close the public hearing and move to the public auction portion of it.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll just...
Public testimony?
I know Councilman Cardoza put in there, I just wanted to make sure that things were stipulated, that all the irrigation equipment did belong to Big D and...
Richard, could you just identify yourself?
Oh, Richard Durant.
Thank you.
And so, that's, and I think Councilman Cardoza already stipulated that. I didn't look at the data to make sure, but just wanted to make sure that was covered in the sale, so...
Yeah, I think, you're right, Richard, that's...
It is specifically in there, yes.
Right.
Okay, all right.
All right, thank you. Any other testimony on the, this hearing? Well, no one's responding, so with Richard's testimony, we'll close the hearing. And then we'll move to the next part of the hearing. It'd be a public auction for the sale of city-owned surplus property located north of Lake Hazel Road and east of 10 Mile Road, 107.13 acres, minimum price of $3,213,900. So we will open the auction, and Richard, you'll probably have to explain to me, since I'm not an auctioneer, we just opened the auction.
And you need to talk really fast.
Yeah, and then I try to speed up and say, oh, 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 good, I'm done.
You have to get the right dialect. Mayor, I can advise council that there was one bidder who pre-qualified. Mr. Eck made the deposit and pre-qualified as required. We received no other inquiries and no other persons deposited that money for the pre-qualification. And so what we should do then is just move to open it for the auction, see if there's any buddy that bids that amount, and then move forward accordingly. Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone present who is going to bid the amount requested? Hearing none, I guess the we'll bring the auction to a close, and duly note that there was no bids. And then moving forward, Richard. You can tell we don't auction property off very often, so I have to have our attorney kind of lead us.
Forgot the hammer, didn't we?
Got what?
We forgot the hammer.
Oh, yeah.
That works.
Yeah, break your hand.
Mayor, Council, Idaho Code 50-1403, subsection 1, provides that when the property is offered for sale, the property shall be sold at the public auction to the highest bidder, and no bid shall be accepted for less than the minimum declared value previously recorded on the record at the public meeting of the council, comma, provided, however, if no bids are received, the city council shall have the authority to sell such property as it deems in the best interest of the city. I can advise council that I have received a purchase and sale agreement from Mr. Eck, saying just a little bit over the appraised value, and in your packet today, of course, the map was the appraisal that we received on this property. What I did is I received a list of appraisers, bank-approved appraisers, and I selected one of those appraisers who then performed this appraisal. The appraised value is $20,000 per acre for the property, which comes out to $2.1 million and some change. The purchase and sale agreement offer made by Mr. Eck is for a little bit over that. It's $2,155,900. There is earnest money on deposit and the balance to be paid in cash, excuse me, at the time of closing, and I believe Mr. Eck would like to close on that tomorrow. And Mr. Eck also has another proposal unconnected to this that I think he should address the council on. So I'll step back.
Mr. Eck?
Mayor, council members, my name is Tim Eck. I represent DBTV Agricultural Holdings, LLC. My address is 6152 West Half Moon Lane, Eagle, Idaho. I have packages here I'll present you that kind of will help you follow the rest of our proposal.
Thank you.
The property actually appraised at $19,975.73 an acre. That's $2,140,000 divided by 107.13 acres. In front of you is a purchase and sale agreement. And to represent our sincerity, we went ahead and qualified as a, went through the process of pre-qualifying as a qualified bidder, which required the deposit of $500,000 earnest money in good funds at the title company. Our purchase and sale agreement offer currently in front of you is for $2,155,900, which is $20,124.14 an acre on 107.13 acres. There's a few other things involved with the transaction. It's my understanding that the funds from this proceeds will be going to the sewer fund as part of an effort to get to rebuild that fund. Part of the settlement agreement with KeyBank on the LID is a $2 million accounts payable by the city of CUNA to KeyBank. I have successfully negotiated an assignment from KeyBank to myself, buying the accounts receivable for a significant discount. The purchase price of the assignment is $1,342,016.28 for the accounts payable of the city of CUNA of $2 million. So there's a $657,983.72 discount available. Now, the critical timing on this is that transaction closes tomorrow. If I close on that transaction, then I just own the accounts receivable and we'll move forward. I will offer that assignment to the city of CUNA. So out of the proceeds from the sale, the city of CUNA will close on my purchase of the accounts receivable. The city of CUNA will benefit the $657,983.72 discount, all of which benefits the sewer fund. Those two numbers combined will get the effective benefit to the sewer fund. I'm trying to find it here. Up to $2,813,883.72. Also, as a sizable landholder in the city of CUNA, this property puts us over, you know, just to another level where we have significant interest in seeing improvements that the city has been working on get accelerated to the best that it can be. We have decided that it would be a good contribution for us to retire the LID obligation on behalf of the city of CUNA for the CUNA 75 property. Property that you've now deemed is not surplus property, owned by the city of CUNA with a sizable LID encumbrance on it. We will retire that. The city will own the park site free and clear. And hopefully the funds that you would have been using to retire that obligation can then be used to, well, as the city needs, but hopefully we can see the park move forward quicker. We also understand that there is a feasibility study in the works to look at some improvements on the Boys and Girls Club property, possibility of swimming pool improvements. We're prepared to make, on December 31st, tax planning, December 31st, a contribution to the city to be used for the feasibility study and whatever capital improvements are necessary or whatever capital improvements can be done at the Boys and Girls Club. And if the feasibility study determines that the improvements that are being discussed are not viable, then the funds can just be used for park and rec improvements as the city seems fit. And we're prepared to make that contribution in the amount of $135,000 on December 31st. The assignment document that we're talking about from KeyBank to DBTV, I provide you in the packet, and it is, I believe, the next item on your agenda for, you know, council's approval. But also in your package is the form of the assignment from DBTV Agricultural Holdings to the city of CUNA, should you agree to move forward with this. Timing is critical and short because tomorrow's our deadline to close with the city, or to close with KeyBank. If we close with KeyBank, then this becomes a lot more complicated for us, and I don't know if we can do it. But if we can do it all simultaneously, then the city closes with KeyBank through my assignment. The city gets to reap the benefit of the discount that I negotiated with KeyBank. They get the $2,155,900 for the property and the other contributions I discussed.
Okay.
There's
Richard, have you gone through those figures? I know it's difficult for the council to keep up, although they may have kept up better than me, but if you would briefly run through that with Kim and make sure that we understand exactly what's offered here.
The purchase and sale agreement is $2,155,900.
Okay.
The discount on the KeyBank accounts payable is $657,983.72.
To arrive at that, what Mr. Eck did was take the $2 million obligation that we owe, subtract the value, the discount value, and that's how you reached that amount. So it's 1.342 16.
I negotiated with KeyBank a purchase price that they would accept for the accounts receivable, and the discount is the net of the purchase price subtracted from the accounts, the total accounts payable. The QNS 75 LID obligation, $262,642.
Okay.
And then $135,000.
And that total comes to
$3,211,525.72.
Say that one more time, please.
$3,211,525.72. That represents a difference between the $3.2 million minimum bid in that amount of $2,374.28.
Okay.
A little bit less than that. Full asking.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because I was getting garbled up here. Everybody kind of got those figures in mind now.
If there are no other questions, then I'll.
Yeah, just a sec, Tim. After they've digested that, are there any questions for Mr. Eck? Okay, hearing none, then yes, thank you very much. Okay, Richard, then quit talking. I think the advice that we need from Richard now is that the next item would be whether the council will accept that bid?
That's correct. Or any questions or considerations. Do you want to sell it for that amount or leave that amount and sale in the best interest of the city?
Okay, the question is properly before you. I think if you want to discuss it, that's great. If not, then if you want to ask more questions of Mr. Eck or of Richard or of John, that's fine. If you think that you've heard plenty, then entertain a motion to accept the bid.
I have a question, okay. Mayor, and I'm not quite sure who might answer it, maybe everyone.
Okay.
If we accept this bid with the discount with KeyBank and we're on a very short time frame for Mr. Eck to affect that deal with KeyBank, what happens if there's some administrative glitches or something and it doesn't happen between today and tomorrow and we don't get that 600,000 some discount?
Mr. Eck?
We've worked very extensively through the many steps in this process. We have everything at title, in escrow, ready to close tomorrow. The KeyBank proceeds will be paid out of the closing proceeds. We will fund the closing. KeyBank will fund, the title company will fund KeyBank. The title company is already in receipt of the fully executed assignment agreement from KeyBank. With my notarized signature on it as well. Your next agenda item is that the city's consent to that assignment. With the city's consent to that assignment and the deposit of the funds, Fidelity will release that assignment to me. Also in escrow is the second assignment agreement you see there that will be signed by me tomorrow and notarized, assigning the accounts receivable to the city of CUNA. So effectively, I fund everything tomorrow, KeyBank gets paid, the city of CUNA gets the, they get an assignment agreement of their own accounts payable. Title insurance is ready. The only thing that the title company is waiting for is a fully executed purchase and sale agreement. We'll be closed by 1 or 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, Doug, does that answer
your question? Well, as our staff, have you looked at all this? You know, we just get this given to us here, and to quote my colleague here, Mr. Cardosa, that getting this kind of stuff and having don't have time to read through it, I kind of wonder if we're being sold a bill of goods here. I'm cautious.
Absolutely, and I apologize for the very short time that you guys have. This has been an ongoing process with KeyBank and myself, as were the many other LID projects that we retired with them. They don't move very fast. The agreements in front of you have been thoroughly reviewed by your counsel to make sure. I couldn't present it to anybody. Otherwise, I believe it would be ex parte. So I had everything, all the documents in front of you, reviewed by Mr. Rhodes to make sure the form and everything was acceptable. If he had any revisions that he thought would be requested, we've made them. actually, even the initial assignment from KeyBank to DBTV was thoroughly reviewed by Mr. Rhodes because it was going to require your signature. So before we got to this point, I wanted to know that it was a document that the city attorney would support. The second assignment agreement has also been reviewed, and it's just a very slight change to the original assignment agreement. And the other other two items we will provide post-dated checks for each one of those transactions at closing.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And you know, I know that it's been extensively reviewed by the attorney, Public Works, who reviewed it, and the treasurer have reviewed it, and everybody is pretty much in agreement that it does what it says it's going to do. So anyway, any other questions of Mr. Eck? Thank you. We won't make you stand there.
So, Mayor, I've heard you say that John and Gordner and have reviewed it and are in concurrence. Can I hear it from them?
Sure. Would you like, John, would you come up and talk about your review of it, and we'll have Gordon come up afterward.
You bet. For the record, John Marsh, City Treasurer. And I'd just like to say I think it's a very benevolent offer of Mr. Eck, and I think he's considering the appraisal value and knowing that private sector enterprise is involved and it's a business decision, I think he's made a concerted effort to try to make the city as whole as possible, knowing what the city wanted to at least get out of this transaction. And so I think it extends a few boundaries in the city as far as funds go, and I think it's a very nice offer. And to allay any fears, we have looked at this offer very extensively. I've reviewed it very extensively. Richard Rhodes has. I know Gordon has. And across the board, I think it is a very, very clean and very, very nice offer. So if you have any questions for me, certainly. I've got several iterations of things. I can give you additional numbers. I've compared against what, for example, the assignment agreement that Mr. Eck has negotiated with KeyBank, our future value basically is $2 million at the end of 10 years. We, in our contract, had the ability to prepay that at a present value discounted rate of 6.25%. And if we were to pay that, if the city had those dollars today and was to pay that on its own behalf, that amount would have been $1,454,738. So we're still getting an additional $106,000 over and above what we would have gotten, best case scenario, had the city had the money. So across the board, this is a great deal, and from my perspective, and certainly I think I would certainly recommend it. Any questions of me?
Okay, thank you very much. Gordon?
Mr. Mayor and members of council, I have always been anxious to take care of the sewer fund, and I will report in reviewing the numbers and the complicated aspect of this to make sure that the sewer fund is kept whole. I believe that this accomplishes that purpose. I am not surprised that with a valuation, which you should be aware of, that was 20,000 an acre and an asking price of 30,000 an acre, there is a need by the buyer to protect his future interests as well and not set prices that are unrealistic. That a number of these things needed to be accomplished in this way, and I understand it and accept them, and I believe at the end of the day the sewer fund is kept whole. So that's what I have to report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else you'd like to hear from, Doug?
You know, I know Rich's biggest concern, if I'm understanding his concerns correctly, was that, you know, this had been planned to be a park, and were we shortchanging the city with recreational opportunities. And so I think Mr. Eck did a great job of addressing those concerns with this offer and, you know, helping with some of the Boys and Girls Club issues and freeing up some additional land that we're not going to have to spend money on to get clear. So I am thankful that it seemed like our biggest issue has been addressed in a way that I consider very equitable and valuable for the city. So I appreciate that.
Okay. Further comment?
Mayor, I guess I'm a little disappointed. We have a public auction. Nobody bids on it. And then we negotiate a price without putting it out to bid again for... It just doesn't seem... It's above board to me. I don't know how we can put out the public auction a piece of property and then hold a meeting where we negotiate a settlement without public input, without public the ability for others to provide some kind of a cost analysis to the city. Looking through this, I don't see where it addresses the discount, Richard.
Well, we get the 2.155,900 as the purchase price, and the discount has been negotiated in the assignment amount. You know, I guess we could do whatever we wanted to with that, but it would be in the city's best interest to go ahead and pay that off, and then those additional leftover funds get deposited in the sewer fund, that $657,000. So it's separate. It's a separate, the assignment has been separate from this, but it's an option that we have to go ahead and take care of that.
Where is it spelled out in any of the contracts in front of us?
It's not part of the purchase price.
Okay. I think the council knows how I feel when somebody puts a $3 million contract in front of me half an hour ago and tells me to vote on it. I don't think I have to go any further on what I feel would be right. Looks like these contracts were addressed on the 8th, from what I can see here. That was 2 days ago. Why the city did not forward to the city council contracts for us to review before a half hour ago.
Well, you know, I got them the same time you guys got them. And so the, I chalked it up that it was being negotiated and trying to be totally understood and what have you before it was agreed upon. And I don't think that we would want them putting out portions of contracts that weren't totally agreed to. And so, granted, I agree that it would have certainly been nicer to put on a regular council meeting to have all this in mind and to have studied it. And the trouble is that the discount goes away, in which case the I don't know that you could get the sale, because the discount is, like they said, what, $657,000? And that will be put into the city's coffers. And so, I mean, time is not a commodity we had a lot of, and it kind of came together at the last minute. And, you know, maybe under different circumstances we'd have given you more time, but we're trying to meet what was required of the council, if in fact you wanted to accept this offer. And so
I can apologize for not giving you more time, but I didn't have any more time myself to review it and all, so.
Well, and with our open government laws, wouldn't we be prohibited from viewing these things before we, I mean, we would have been colluding or communicating with Mr. Eck, who's an interested party.
Right.
So we wouldn't have been permitted to view the contracts until now.
Right.
So anyway, we, you know, there's not everybody is totally happy for sure, and but we now have a contract in front of us, and it's been adequately explained. It's legal, and it's properly before the council, and we need a decision tonight if the council is willing.
You know, I shared Rich's concern at first when the number was put in front of us, and that we would be potentially, that we were being asked to accept $1 million less than we said we were going to sell it for. But when everything is added in and we arrive at only $2,000 less than what we advertised, that feels a lot more appropriate to me. I think certainly if we were actually going to be accepting the totality of $1 million less than what we've advertised, I think that would merit another option, so that folks who may have been able to come in at that price point would have the option to do so. But because it's so close to the amount we had advertised, my concerns in that regard are quelled.
Mayor, if I could,
yes,
voice another opinion. Was the bid of $30,000 an acre advertised so that nobody else would put in a bid, because it was assumed that the minimum bid was $30,000 an acre, so we had no one else even want to bid on it, and then we turn around and in half an hour negotiate a contract because nobody wanted to bid $30,000. I just don't feel it's above board the way it's being handled. That's, I'm frustrated.
Mayor, I'm had to deal with children, my own children, over the years, and when they bring in something at the very, very last minute, and I have to make a decision to do something, and when you have to do it at the last minute, you always seem to be spring-loaded. Well, okay, go ahead. And I don't like being put in that position. And I made the statement here at the last time we brought this up in the council meeting that if we didn't get a full price, what's the hurry to sell this property? And I kind of think that Mr. Eck probably made this agreement with Key Bank, the deadline of tomorrow, to put us under pressure. And I don't feel good about it either.
To Rich's first concern about the, you know, if we were advertising it at a different price, I will note that this packet we have with the whole appraisal has been in the public domain for a little while at least, and so folks would have the ability to see that the market value of the land is only 2.14, not the 3. Whatever we were advertising it for. So I think there was at least some notice that we were asking for significantly more than what it was actually appraised for.
But those that might have been interested were never made notice that we would negotiate tonight a settlement that was opposite of what we advertised. So in fairness to others, I think it ought to be open again to anybody else that would be interested in that property. That's my feeling.
I agree with Richard, and I guess that this whole thing that came up kind of has me in shock a little bit, just sticker shock or whatever you call it. So I guess, Richard, would you, to address the concern of whether or not this was above board, is there anything that's happening here that could be construed as not proper?
Mayor, council members, As noted, as soon as the appraisal came in and was put on the website and copies were made available, more importantly, to be a qualified bidder, there was a requirement. In that notice, I had, if you had any questions, to contact my office. I received not a single phone call, not a single inquiry, and Mr. Eck was the only one who qualified as a bidder. Somebody could have said, geez, I see that the appraisal is less. What do you want to do? Or they could have read the code section, and that's that section that I read you as we started today that says if no bids are received, council can move forward and can sell that property in the best interest of the city, as it so deems. It's in the code section. It's a comma. It doesn't say, you know, reset it for a public hearing or give additional notice or do anything else. It just says that if we don't receive a bid, we can move forward in the same sentence. And so is it legal? Yeah, I took a hard look at that to see is what we're doing correct. Yes, and again, nobody else took the effort to qualify as a bidder, and nobody even took the effort to contact the city or me to take a look at what we would do or what may be a feasibility to make an offer less than that. So, you know, I have to think that most people decided that they just weren't interested in that property, 107 acres. So,
well, the more I look at this, the more it occurs to me. I mean, we're just so close to the asking price. A good businessman thinks out of the box to make things happen. And, you know, I like Gordon said, if the purchase price ends up being $30,000 an acre, then that kind of sets a precedence in the area, and that could create problems in and of itself. I guess I appreciate the fact that he thought out of the box and got this so close to what the original bid was. Like I said, I'm still soaking it in, so.
Yeah, and if I can address that $30,000 an acre, I know we put that in for the minimum bid, and that's huge. That's 50% increase over what the appraised value is, which not only would affect you know, Mr. Eck in purchasing properties later, it would affect every other developer that wanted to come into CUNA and buy property. And on a property this size, that's a $1 million swing either way. And if somebody has to put in a lift station, that essentially pays for a lift station to provide sewer to that site. So it's a big deal in that. So I think in that consideration, Mr. Eck thought outside the box to say, how can I make this happen for the city and for Mr. Eck and his holdings? And that's what offer he came forward with. Independent of that and earlier was the assignment, and that got wrapped into it, and you know, we worked on this throughout the day exchanging information to get this thing done. So he was thinking outside the box, and we're $2,000 away from what we got. I don't know, Mr. Cardoza, if somebody else would come in and say, I can get you $1,500 away from where you wanted, when they didn't even bother to register to bid. So I think it's a fair offer. I've looked at the legal aspect of it, in what we can do if we don't receive any bids, and that's when we looked at what can we do to make this happen. So, thank you.
Mr. Eck?
Mr. Hoyland, just to rest your mind about the timing is significant to your first payment, which is due the 15th, which is Tuesday. Monday's a holiday. Friday was the last day that KeyBank would allow me to push the assignment to. I tried to push it further out, but when they came back and said it has to close on the 11th, that's what I was faced with. And because they didn't want to deal with what they'd have to go through internally if the city of CUNA made their payment on the 15th of $200,000. Then it completely restructures the whole deal. Or else they'd have to turn around and refund the payment back to me, which they just wanted to close by the 11th. So that's how we got to that date. And I did start that negotiation with them before you guys had published the intent to sell. I've worked with Key Bank extensively. Mr. Law, Mr. Rhodes, and Mayor Nelson know how much I've worked with them through the whole LID process and acquiring other properties for pennies on what I'm paying for this. But through the whole LID process, I've established a great relationship with Mr. Bates. He's a special asset controller for Key Bank. And I've got his direct line, and I don't know how many people have that, but that comes from having made several proposals to them and closing 10 or 11 large subdivision LID retirements with them. And everyone closed as agreed, flawlessly. So, and there was a lot of work with John Marsh going through all that. Every property had to constantly be updated. What is the total payoff? And then find a target date, negotiate it with Key Bank, and retire the LID. So there's a long-term relationship now with those guys for me to have been able to get that deal put together. And in this case, the city will get the entire benefit of it.
Okay, thank you very much. And I think that pretty well summarizes it up. You know, it's not everyone that could put something together like this. You've really got to have the respect of the city, and you got to have the respect of the bank. And it's not an easy thing to do, and there's a timetable that really the city had probably created more of that timetable by having when our payment was due. And if the first payment from the city comes in, it changes the parameters. And so that kind of explains that it wasn't a setup to push the council. It was a setup to meet the payment schedule that the bank and the city had agreed upon. So as far as it looking like something was amiss, you know, it was advertised, there isn't anyone around here dealing in property that's all that shy that they wouldn't have called if they had some kind of thing to present to actually, they didn't like the appraised value, or if they didn't like this, they didn't like that. But we heard from no one. And so it was advertised properly, it went out properly. We called for the bids tonight, no one signed up, no one bid. So you move on, that you can auction it, and no one was here to auction, to listen to an auction or to bid on an auction. And so and you go to the next one, and lo and behold, the what is offered makes the city just very whole. It's a more than fair offer. You don't know how hard it is to convince Gordon that his sewer fund has got to be be held sacred, and it does that. And so, you know, I'm very pleased with what's been offered. I don't think we can go wrong. I think the community will be pleased, and there certainly isn't anything that's shady or amiss in what we've done. So I don't want any of you to go home and worry that you're worried about this. It's all above board, and it just takes some, like Joe says, somebody thinking out of the box to put something together like this where it makes us whole and is legal. So
I guess the main thing that would make this really hard for me to say no to is that a little less than a year ago, the city was looking at possibly being $30 million in debt. And to get this finalized and sell this piece of property takes that down to where the city's flush again, and You know, it's just almost like we made $30 million in a year. And I don't know any other way to do that, and I guess I think it's necessary because of the money we're going to get out of it, and it just makes the city whole again. And I think that was kind of all our goals over the past couple of years, so this just seems to me to kind of finalize that.
Okay, I think we've had plenty of comment. I think it's time for the council to decide what they wanted to do on this, whether accept it or reject it or...
So would we just make a motion to approve of the sale? Or not approve of the sale, as the case may be?
Yeah, in your motion, you would make a finding that this is or is not within the best interest of the city, and then accordingly, either approve and for the mayor to sign the purchase and sale agreement, or don't approve it and not sign it.
I would move that we make a finding that this sale is in the best interest of the city, and therefore that we would allow the mayor to execute the documents, the assignment documents that were presented to us, and that the other terms as described, including the donations and whatnot, would also occur.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded for the discussion. Would you poll the council, please?
Council President Cardoza?
No.
Council Member Hoyland?
A very strained yes.
Council Member Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member Steer?
Yes.
The agreement has been, it has been agreed upon to sell the property on a vote of 3-1. And so it's passed, and I don't think we need it goes in effect immediately. It will probably be published, but I don't think we'll hold it up to publish before it kind of goes into effect.
We'll just have you sign the purchase and sale agreement, and that'll go to title. We do have two more things then to do. The next item on the agenda, which we have discussed, but approve the resolution for you to sign the consent to the assignment from KeyBank to Mr. Eck, and then also approve your signature on the assignment from Mr. Eck to the city of CUNA of the notes with KeyBank, so we can record those with the title.
Okay, we need a motion on both of those?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I would move we adopt resolution number R40-2013, authorizing the mayor to execute the consent to assignment of account receivable between KeyBank and DPTB Agricultural Holdings.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say no.
No.
Motion carried 3-1. And then the second one?
There's not a resolution to that, but I can prepare it. I don't know what number that would be.
R42.
R42, just a resolution for the city to sign the assignment from DVT to the city, which is that document provided this evening by Mr. Eck.
I move we approve a forthcoming resolution, number R42-2013, that would allow the mayor to sign an assignment from DBTV to the city for the subject property.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say no.
Nay.
The motion carried 3-1.
There will be one last resolution, which would be R43-2013, a resolution appointing a city designee to sign the closing documents at title tomorrow. And I don't know if you want to do
do that, Mayor, if you want me to sign on behalf of the city.
I would think that the attorney sign on behalf of the mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I'd move we authorize Resolution R43-2013, authorizing City Attorney Richard Rhodes to sign at the title company tomorrow.
Second.
Moved and seconded to have Richard Rhodes sign at the title company tomorrow. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
Nay. Mayor, can I ask, does the resolution have to be in the notice of the public meeting?
No, I will prepare those contemporaneous with that.
But the public wasn't even notified that is on the agenda.
Well, we can do it by motion and approval without the resolution. The purpose of the resolution is just to memorialize the motion and keep track of it.
But shouldn't a resolution be advertised on the agenda for public testimony?
If you want to just have a motion, an oral motion, we can certainly do that, Mr. Cardoza.
It's up to the mayor.
Well, the implementing way the sale is handled, I don't think is of itself required. If we're going to sell it, you got to have the implementing resolutions to do it. I think it was all advertised. It was going to be bid and sold. And so I don't see that legally that there's anything that would require that you had to publish that. Oh, and by the way, we'll do the paperwork that goes ahead and does sell it.
Because if we would have sold it via auction to somebody else, we wouldn't have had that resolution there either.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're doing more than what's required, which is a motion and vote on the motion. We are memorializing that motion by a resolution. If we were doing less, then we would certainly, if we were required to have a resolution, we just did it by a motion, then I would be concerned. But we are actually doing more than what's required by memorializing it. I like resolution from the standpoint of somebody can go back and look and see a date that something was passed instead of having to go through the records, the oral records or the minutes. So.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'm mostly amazed that was only resolution 42.
Anyway, it is memorialized and it will be written up as a part of this meeting. And so, anyway, anyone that wants to review it will find those memorials were passed, or those resolutions were passed. Okay, I think, was there anything else, Richard?
No, that concludes the business on the agenda.
Okay, this concludes the council meeting, and we entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, move and second. All in favor? We're adjourned.
Aye. Aye.
Richard, I'll see you.